I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's 5 p.m. We have a few proposals on here, a dozen or so. And we do have another meeting scheduled tomorrow evening. And I would prefer not to use that meeting if we could. I think that what we've been at this quite a while, and we ought to be able to make the determinations while we're here this evening. So we'll start right out. Is there anything, County Administrator, you have anything for us?
I do not. Unless you want to talk about the Medicaid item that's on your list, or if you'd like to wait until it's that's in the queue, we can do that then.
Too. Right. We can do that when we get there, Martha.
We're there.
I apologize if this is on. It's been on email today. I've been otherwise occupied. Could we have a? I don't see David here. We're hoping to have a sort of a tutorial on fund balance. There he is.
There he is.
So I was wondering whether we might start out with that.
Point of order. Do we have a quorum?
If I'm here and you're here, there's a quorum.
It's the budget committee.
It's an expanded budget committee. All you need is one more than whatever we have.
All right.
David, did you hear the comment on the way in? Martha, do you want to repeat it for David?
Yes. There are a number of proposals on the list today that essentially have a relationship with the fund balance. And I think we'd like to have a conversation here from you about what target fund balance means, what's prudent, what's our policy, what's good practice about how much the fund balance is.
And the other part of it is when we say 5%, what are we saying 5% of? Operating budget, whatever. All right. Go ahead.
Well, let's start off with, I think that we'll go with the 5%. The way the policy calls for this target threshold, which is the amount you never want to go beneath, it's 5% of basically appropriations. And that's a figure a little over $6.5 million. That is sort of obsolete, that threshold. If we had a fund balance, we brought this fund balance down to $6.5 million, we'd be borrowing for operations. What I would recommend is a 10% threshold. Which puts it at double the $6.5 million, which is $13 million, which we are at presently. In addition to that, there are other factors. Sometimes the fund balance we have is stronger than other times. As we ended 2010, our fund balance level was somewhat compromised because while the fund balance went up, our cash balance stayed constant, meaning it was impaired somewhat. You know, in an ideal world, you would want your fund balance to be at least equal to your liquidity balance at the year end.
Could I follow up with a couple of questions?
Sure.
So, David, in our book, on section 2, page 1, Tompkins County Budget Overview, what's the number, 5% of what we should be looking at?
It's not actually, that's the total county. It's actually closer to 131.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really see that anywhere, but yeah, it's $131 million was the total appropriations
For
the general fund.
So that's not just local share. It's
no, that's the total because that's what the budget supports, and of that, only one third of it is local dollars. Two thirds of it's things we don't have any control over.
So. You say we used to use 5% of that number, 5% of appropriations as we call the target fund balance. Right?
And I'd say that sort of
the liquidity and what that. Why do you say $6.5 million isn't enough?
Well, looking at it, you got to look at it in isolation. The fund balance figure over here in the cash position are totally different. But at the year end, you have to look at what happens. The fund balance should be looked at as the ultimate protection against catastrophe. If a Katrina hit and you were suddenly cut off from anything, how much assets would you have to continue to operate on? And so that to me is the test that a prudent manager should have. You should be able to identify enough resources to operate for an extended period without having to resort to extraordinary measures like borrowing.
So what?
In the year end, for example, in our cash flow patterns, pretty much decline in December and January.
Right. So there are ebbs and flows during the year.
Yeah.
So why? What has changed that means that you recommend now twice the?
Well, over time, if you look at the county's balance sheet, has been relatively stable over time in terms of, except for cash. If the budget's growing, why isn't our cash position growing proportionally? Which, to me, signals a weakness. It should grow proportionally with the growth in the budget, but it's been staying constant.
Why? Do you know why?
Well, part of it is circumstances, loss of state aid, slow payments, disproportionately more of our assets are paper receivables versus liquid.
Anything else, Martha?
Let's go ahead.
Peter?
I spent a fair amount of time yesterday and today trying to understand this whole question of liquidity and the fund balance and the various parts of it. And it's very complicated, and I don't pretend to understand it. And I have some difficulty in talking about numbers that I can't remember them, 10 million, 5 million. I can remember 5%. But I heard it in a way from David yesterday and today that made an impact on me. And the way it was presented to me was, suppose we only had the cash that we have. Suppose that the receivables from the New York State don't come. How many days can we operate on the cash that we have? And what should our planning be? And what I gleaned from this conversation was that David said to me, and David, correct me if I heard it wrong, that he thought that we ought to have 6 weeks of operations. We ought to have cash for 6 weeks of operations, and that would be the ideal, but we should not go below 3 weeks of operations. And it was actually 24 days and 48 days or something like that. I can't remember the numbers. And, in fact, if I said, well, what will it be on January 1st of 2012, he said it would be 2 days shy of the absolute lower limit. Now, that's what I understood, and I didn't understand it all well enough to be able to, so to speak, cross-examine him, but I was very chastened to hear that sentence. And I felt that given that situation, we should not take money from the fund balance.
Brian.
This isn't a fund balance question. If somebody else has one.
Fund balance question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To keep going. So on page, section 2, page 3, and then page 4, is the bottom of that page talks about number of days operating cash. And you've got from 2006 to 2010. Now, we obviously were way below what we used to be, 39, 34, down to, in 2008 it was 30.8. 2009 went down to 26 days. But we're back up to 26.24 days. This is 2010. So if you were to fill in the 2011 number, is that a number you can only fill in at the end of the year?
Correct.
can you give us any sense of where we are now?
Well, right now, actually, we're ahead of where we are tracking cash. We're much more ahead in our liquidity at the end of September than we were in the previous year. We're about $4 million more. And part of that is attributable to the fact that the general fund is holding more of its money. It hadn't paid all its money over to the other funds because we were holding back. But it's been pretty steady. I mean, if the data shows that cash balances have been pretty consistent, we peaked out in 2005, and it's been declining proportionally since then. In 2005, we actually had full liquidity.
Well, and I understand. I remember a graph somewhere, in, I think in Joe's PowerPoint, showing the collapse of state reimbursements, you know, over the same period where you see this liquidity go down. So let me ask you again. The next page shows fund as of 2013, the end of 2010. The target fund balance was $6.5 million, and what we actually had was twice that. So we had 13
right.
at the end of 2010. So given your years of surviving these ups and downs, in you know, and I understand it's more an art than a science, perhaps. But can you guess what 2011's number is going to be at the end?
Well, we would be optimistic and hope that if they don't decline, we maintain stability. We have taken into account already that we're going to have to use some of the fund balance in 2011 for shortfalls in DSS accounts. So, I mean, I'm going to be optimistic and say I think our fund balance is going to stay steady. Sales tax is back on track.
So you think at the moment...
But, you know, but if it's too... This, you know, revenues and expenditures and... You got two different equations there, and we still have 5 months of data to book. But if it stays the same, let's say we end up at $13 million. $13 million would show stability, and going below $13 million would not be, I mean, $13 million works out to be a 10%, and which would be the threshold of the ideal. Not the, you know, 20% would be the ideal. 10% is probably the universal figure, 10% of 10% fund balance. It'd be the, you know, the standard, the gold standard. 5%, I would say, that $6.5 million, if we get, you know, that's if we end up with $6.5 million, I could assure you that at a very minimum, we'd have a negative outlook on our bond rating.
But there's a big difference between 13 and 6.5, and all the proposals on the table tonight don't get us anywhere close to that level of depletion.
Yeah.
I want to. Do you want to, or if we got
if I could.
Yeah. Just, and then Carol, you have a fund balance question.
And it really picks up on some things that David and others are saying right now. I've learned to listen very carefully to David. He's kept this county in very good stead. And he's right about cash flow. Cash flow is everything. We never want to get into a position where we're borrowing to make payroll. And that's crucial. So that cash flow number is really important. What I would point out to you, if you have your books here in section 2, page 3, it's where we show both fund balance, available fund balance, and also those liquidity factors. And in the calculation of available fund balance, that's $13 million, you will see how much we've applied in reserve to the 2012 budget. It's $882,000.
Joe, where are you? That's page 3?
I'm on page, in section 2, page 3.
Oh, I see. Okay, at the top. Okay.
You see at the very top?
Yep.
There you
go.
At the very top. So you see that we've applied $882,000 in the 2012 budget for one-time items. Now, among those one-time items, we've used one-time cash, is the cost of the CHA. We've assumed in this budget that there's going to be an ongoing cost associated with the CHA that's tied to the management contract. So that's an assumption in the budget, and we've used one-time money to carry ourselves over the next year during that contract period. However, we also expect at the end of the line when the sale occurs to have that amount replenished through sale proceeds. So of that $882,736, as I recall, about $443,000 is for that CHA event. And again, we will expect to replenish that over time. So if the real issue here tonight is the items that are on the agenda that would propose using one-time money to support these one-time capital expenses, and we want to keep our fund balance at around $13 million available fund balance, which is around 10%, when you take into account that $400,000 we believe will come back to us through sale proceeds, then you can make that decision to apply one-time money. And by the time 2012 is done, that $13 million should be kind of where we end the year. So we're going to get $400,000, we think, back through sale proceeds at least. This proposal would take $300,000 out, so you'll still be at that $13 million mark. And that's roughly 10%.
And that's based on your 5.4% budget that you have includes this amount. Includes
those numbers.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, my question about where we might want to keep the fund balance in relation to where we had it before is not only about what we do, it's about what we anticipate the state might be doing. Based on what they've been doing to us this year, to me that has been unprecedented. So what we anticipate they're going to do, and we've seen this across the board, whether that be reimbursements or dollars in the pipeline for programs that span the gamut from social services and highway projects and assessment and health and housing, and we don't know what programs are going away as they've pulled into this Economic Development Council. It just seems to me we're not sure where things are going. So how does that impact your sense of what we might we need to be not cutting it as close on the fund balance as we did before?
Well, you got to understand that theoretically fund balance is an unbalanced budget. You have more expenditures budgeted than you have revenues. So in order to, and by virtue of that, and because we're squeezing the budget, there's no cushion anywhere. It's likely you're going to spend a higher percentage of what you have budgeted. Therefore, the replenishment of fund balance is going to come from windfalls on the revenue side. And what's the risk? Is New York State going to honor its commitments? We have $20 million generally on average budgeted in revenue in a general fund from the state of New York. Every time the legislature meets, that figure gets squeezed somewhat. Is it likely that they're going to pay us more than we expect? Is it likely the federal government's going to pay us more than we expect? Is it likely that our interest earnings are going to turn around from when we were earning 4 or 5% on our balances to 0.25? So I can't be very optimistic that there's going to be much of a flexibility in replenishing. As Joe pointed out, we do know about this one circumstance where we will get extra revenue when a sale occurs for the CHA, and that's not in the financial plan right now.
So a follow-up on...
Probability is greater that things are going to go against us. And the thing that concerns me about our fund balance went up significantly in 2010, but it went up because of DSS revenue claiming procedures. It went up by $3 million, and that represented paper transaction, and whether it's going to translate into actually cash or, remains to be seen. So that's a difficult situation we're facing. There's just too many unknowns to be optimistic at this point.
Yeah. Isn't it also accurate that if the state can't make payments, it's also not going to make payments to 61 other counties.
Yes.
Okay. Carol.
So where would be the right place to put funds? Is the fund balance the right place, or is there a contingency fund that we should be putting money into if we believe that, you know, we might see cash flow different from the state this year than we saw in the last year or the year before that?
Well, that's what basically the fund balance is your reserve for contingencies. I mean, if you wanted to put money in contingency, you'd be adding to the budget.
Yeah, right.
Be adding to the budget and increasing the tax levy.
Peter, I'm going to go to Brian because he's been patient.
Sure.
Are you a fund balance question?
It's a fund balance question.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Brian, are you? You're not. Go ahead, Peter.
I try to follow the colloquy between, David, between you and Martha, but where it ended up confused me no end, because I thought that the one thing I took away from our conversation was that, or a couple of things I took away, is that the fund balance varies over the course of the year by a significant amount, that the low point is in January after we've made some payments. And that at that point, I thought that I heard you say that it's your guess that this January of next year, 2 months, 3 months from now, that you would expect the fund balance to be something like 3 weeks. And then I heard you say to Martha that you thought it was likely that it was going to be 6 weeks. I mean, that's very different.
No,
so
the cash.
Yeah, that's what I said.
The cash versus the fund balance.
No, the cash part of the fund balance.
The cash part of the fund balance is right now, as we discussed, probably wasn't going to change much. Under the gross fund balance, because we have a history of stability, we would expect that it stays relatively stable at the $13 million level if we're optimistic that we're not going to have any unexpected shortfalls. But that won't affect cash, theoretically.
So how much cash will we have, do you think,
well,
in January?
Well, I would say
1st?
Historically the cash hasn't grown. It's been flat.
He's talking about cash flow.
In terms of days.
Are you talking about cash flow? Yeah. Where in January, when we are really short on cash, we need to rely on this to be able to pay our bills.
So that's right.
That's what I'm trying to understand. It then fattens up later in the year.
Right. Yeah. So in January, if all of a sudden there was a disaster of some sort, which meant that we had to pay out of our cash balance. I thought you told me that there was going to be all we had was 3 weeks and that we ought to have 6 weeks. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So,
and it's no easy way to get back. The budget's not going to restore liquidity. It could harm liquidity, but
all
it can't
right.
restore
it. Julie, are you a fund balance question?
Sort of. I have a question for Joe's comment about the CHA, which was a fund balance question. The $400,000 is something that you were putting forth as replenishing the fund balance. Is that what the reason you mentioned it? Because whatever we get paid from the sale of the license, we will have to spend to hire somebody to run.
Well, we don't think all. We don't think all. Let's say that the CHA, that we had to spend as much for the CHA under contract as we did during its worst year, which is in 2011. That means that the CHA would lose about $440,000. Okay? And that's what we've assumed in the budget, the worst case. And there's no offsetting sale proceeds against that. So we've had to assume the worst case in this budget for that. We have with one-time money, and that's a part of that $882,000 that we've done there. What we can't say right now is when the sale will be complete and when the money might come back to us, the $850,000 in sale proceeds. So let's say that it took a year for the state to grant the CON. Okay, it took a year.
It's been averaging over a year.
Yeah, but they're beginning to speed it up. But it has been averaging over a year, yes. But let's say it took a year. That means that in the worst case, we would have spent $440,000 on expenses, offset by $850,000 in sale proceeds. And that assumes that it would be sold in a year. If it's sold in a year and a half, then it would be less than that. We'd still get the same $850, but our costs, worst case, and that's assuming that we would spend as much under contract as we do on our own, would be around $600,000. So there'd still be $250,000 in net proceeds from that. That's why I just wanted to point out to the legislature that we've needed to draw from our reserves to pay for this during its transition phase. We didn't want to raise taxes to do that. But in the end, we believe that draw that we've made should be offset, if not fully, then almost fully, through sale proceeds.
I guess.
And it may be 2013 before we get the money, which is why we couldn't do it for 2012.
That's what I think is much more likely, and so I'm not real comfortable counting in that replenishing during 2012. David, Peter quoted you as saying 3 weeks is too short, 6 weeks is okay. My recollection from sometime in the past was 60 days of cash was what you were aiming for. So that's more than what you're talking about now.
Well, in looking at it, I'm still, because we've the payroll has been flat, that's been a big driver. And I've always, you go back to the threshold, I would get extremely nervous if facing January 1 with under 10 million, let's say $9 million in the bank account, because historically we spend twice as much in January as we recognize in income, and we spent out the door every month $10 to $15 million, and some months, in January we'll be good if we got $6 million in the door. And we're spending $15 million out the door. That's why we want to build this foundation. And the fund balance, I know it's confusing, but the point I was trying to make about relating fund balance to liquidity is, if liquidity is not equal to the fund balance, then you should be somewhat cautious about using fund balance. You should discount your transactions because it's not 100% liquid. We need cash to operate on, and when you appropriate fund balance, we're going to spend that money against no resources. You use fund balance, but that's the whole point. You got a $13 million fund balance, and we had a cash balance, but...
Martha, fund balance?
Yes, and thank you, and I appreciate this because it's sort of the foundation for a number of the decisions we're looking at in a few minutes, and David, it's terrific that you're so, I will say, conservative on this. It's terrific that you're really, I would love to have twice as much in my bank account as I should have. Okay. I mean, it's your job to expect, to counsel us to be careful in this way. But is it... I feel like there needs to be some balance, and so I want to ask Joe, given everything that you look at, that and you were CFO for a long time too, in the category of these several motions that have to do with moving something to one-time funding, which is instead of target, and changing the Medicaid number, et cetera. Do you worry? Do you think that these are going to put us precipitously close to a dangerous level of not being able to pay to meet payroll? Do you think this is this putting us into a danger zone?
I don't think so. I look at these in a couple of ways. The first is, if you're going to apply one-time money, you really want to make sure it's applied to a one-time expense. And both of these are one-time expenses. So that basic rule, you never want to tie a one-time revenue against recurring expenses, because it'll come back to get you the next year. This won't do that. It's one time. The second is, David is right to point our eye toward cash flow. And fund balance can be all over the place, but you really need to look at cash flow. It has been constrained. But as I look at cash flow, and I really do believe that we will get a large part, and I personally, I think, virtually all of that Shaw drawdown back through sale proceeds. And it may not be in time for the closing of books in 2012, but it will come. I think it's a reasonable draw on reserves. I don't know that the rating agencies would take a negative look at this. If anything, we've built our reserves over the last few years. David has done a great job. The negative outlook is gone. So again, he's right to be cautious. You're right to be cautious about how this is approached. But in terms of it being used for one-time purposes and for the money, I believe, to be essentially replenished over the course of the next year or so, I don't think it's unsafe.
Brian.
Would it be appropriate to have some discussion on, I realize there's holdover items. However, I want to know or fully understand your item 9 and how it relates to the rest of the proposals.
The Medicaid reduction?
Yeah.
Oh. Would you like us to explain that the Medicaid? I don't have those numbers in front of me. The Medicaid reduction.
$230,000.
Yeah. We can do that pretty quickly. On October 19th, the state sent counties a letter saying that they had looked at the way Medicaid billings were going to be scheduled this year. If you recall, in Patricia's presentation and mine, we not only had ordinary growth in Medicaid, that 3%, we also had a 53rd week that we had to pay for. It was a scheduling anomaly. Every 7 years or so, you get calendar creep, get an extra week. So on the 19th, the state sent a letter saying, we're going to jiggle our schedule around, and you're only going to make 52 payments in 2011. Now, had they gone a paragraph beyond that, we believe the letter would have said, but you'll have to pay 53 in 2013. But again, with that knowledge that what we had assumed was going to be a bill for next year will not be a bill, then we've put forward to you that we could reduce our budget by that number. It's $230,000.
Okay.
And not put ourselves at risk. It would be and it's about a little more than 0.5%, I think, on the tax levy by taking that reduction.
Okay. But it's going to reappear in the future.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, and we've had both David Squires and Tom Herndon from DSS look at that and both agree that we've dodged a bullet for 2012, but it will come back to us in 2013 and happen every 7 or so years after that.
Peter? I'm sorry, who?
He's not finished, I don't think.
Oh. Are you finished, Brian?
I thought you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say something.
I appreciate all the help I'm getting here. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
I guess it's more of a comment that based on what you just said in that, you know, yes, that reduces the tax levy and comes out of target for this year, although we know it's coming again, mm-hmm. and we should move cautiously in, you know, spending that money just based on this information alone for this year.
And who was next? Thank you, Brian. Peter?
I just wanted to make a comment about the use of this term one time. It's taken me about a year and a half to understand what one time means, and it was with a sense of eureka when I understood that all of Medicaid reserves. I don't think anyone here would believe that one should use reserves to pay for ongoing expenses. If you've got an emergency fund for your family, is what you do in emergency, you don't use that to write a new contract for getting, I don't know, new channels on your TV or something like that that goes on forever. That's madness, and everybody understands that. But the question here is, is it prudent or is it not prudent to use money that you put away for a desperate emergency to go buy the latest iPad? And that's one time, okay? And to me, calling it one time doesn't disguise it that if you're really nervous about what the future is bringing, then you'd ask yourself if you can't do without the iPad. I think that's a better analogy.
Anyone else? We're all about analogies. Anyone else? Dooley?
I was glad to hear what Brian said. When I was looking at this pile of possible changes to that would affect the levy, I'm very nervous about, in particular, figuring that we can take this out as target, because we will have to raise it next year, and it would just be that much harder to do next year. Possibly leaving it in will help with cash flow. I really like the idea of not acting on this, but some of the other ones, which I think Peter would probably not find to be extravagant one times, maybe make more sense.
So what are you suggesting?
It's not a question, it's a comment.
What are you suggesting?
That we not take the additional $230,000 plus to reduce the levy, because we'll have to raise it for the next year.
Well, anyway, we haven't gotten to that part
no.
of the meeting yet.
The question was, could we discuss it, and that's what I thought we were doing.
I'm sorry? Yeah, right up there. Mike?
A little bit to a tangent, but I think we should say this. If we're really having this liquidity problem, this cash flow problem, one of the causes of that at the beginning of the year is the fact, it is the way we collect our real property taxes, or don't collect them, I should say. We have to let the towns collect our real property taxes, and we don't get the money until after the towns get all their money. And so that's one of the reasons that our liquidity goes down at the beginning of the year. One of the things we could do is say it's time, in looking at reforms at the state level, that's not going to cost the state money, is to have this reformed, ask for state legislation that would allow us to bill for our own taxes and to, for example, contract with a bank the way some of the school districts do to collect them.
Sounds like a good idea. I think there was some discussion about that a few years ago, if I remember. Anyone else? Okay, let's get to number 9 on the agenda. You have a piece of paper in front of you, and it's shaded at the top. There are things that have already been acted upon at the last meeting.
Those are the ones that have been approved.
And approved. Thank you, Kevin. Number 9, administration.
Well, I think we kind of talked about it already, but up on the screen, you can see property tax increase to 4.99%. This is a reduction of just under half a percent, which is that $230,000 for the Medicaid. There's no motion, because I brought it to the floor as something that we'd like to explain to you. So if there's anybody that would like to motion to add this one, then we'll need a second before we go further with it.
Is there a motion,
yeah,
Nate?
I'll,
is there a
I'll
second?
So we can talk.
Okay. Nate moves. Frank seconds. All in favor of adding?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, Benny?
Oh, wait, are we voting on this now?
No.
We're voting on adding it to the agenda.
It's on there already.
Oh. It's already on there, but we're actually going to talk about it now. As we weren't before. Okay. Whatever you want.
Wait.
Yes, Carol?
I have a question that maybe should have been asked just before this, so forgive me. How many of these motions coming up have to do with reducing the fund balance?
9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
9 doesn't.
No.
9 doesn't affect
fund. Not fund balance. Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you meant just reducing
12,
target.
10, 11,
reducing
12,
property
and
tax.
There are two
and
9,
effects.
11. I'm sorry. If I can interrupt. There are two that affect fund balance. Number 10 and number 11.
Right. No, 11 and 12.
Right.
Or 12 and 13.
We'll get it right.
12 and 13.
It's 12 and 13. There are two. Yep, those two capital program items.
And the other two are one time, right?
There are other capital items that are debt service items that are simply deleted. Right. They're expenses that we now believe will not be incurred, so those are gone.
Back to the 230K. Martha?
I'm looking for and can't seem to find that. Don't we have a summary page of mandates in the book? I remember seeing it. I can't find it.
Is it the consolidated budget in front of the
page two, section 2, page 1. There's a list of mandates there.
Okay, I guess that must be the way. All right, so you're saying that the Medicaid line?
Medicaid line, the 12, well, that includes two small, another component of Medicaid, but yes, that Medicaid line, that 12,460, will go down by $230, $230,000.
And these are the actual payments out to people for going to the doctor.
These are the payments to New York State. So the state, all those requests go to the state. The state then bills us every week for our share.
Okay, and this year it's the number on the right hand side is 3% because that's the amount that's built in since the cap in growth was established. So now it's 6 because of the extra week.
That's exactly right.
So in a sense, if we leave this number here, even though we're not, leave it like this, if we turn down this motion, we would be charging taxpayers for a bill that we won't pay until the following year.
Correct.
Could we pay it early?
These payments are automatic. They're set. They set each week on a certain day, and what they did was they just moved it.
They just shifted it to one side of the new year.
Right.
So
I mean, it's a question of whether or not we could. We wouldn't have to. Accounting wise, you could probably do it. The payment itself is not going to be paid early.
Okay.
It confused New York State.
So we're raising the money in 2012, but the bill will be paid in 2013.
Peter Stein.
Yeah, I have a question about this. It sounds like a technicality, but a little story, a simile. I wonder if it's the same thing. In 1941, during the war, at the beginning of the war, the federal government went from income tax having to be paid on April 14th of the year to having withholding. And what that did was that gave the federal government 2 years of income tax payments in 1 year. And then it went on forever after that. Now, is that the same sort of thing? I mean, it didn't really cost anybody any money, but somehow, magically, it got the federal government an extra income tax. Is that what's going on with moving now?
Peter, I'm going to call on Joe because I don't think he was born in 1941, but go ahead and answer, Joe.
I'm beginning to feel like I was born in 1841.
Right.
I don't think so, Peter. Remember, the state's fiscal year is different than ours. So this all occurs within the state's fiscal year that ends in late March. What's happening here is the state's hearing a lot of complaints from counties about issues that we've talked about, how mandated costs are up, and about how this is adding insult to injury, a 53rd week. And I think they're responding to that by jiggling the schedule by a day to give us some relief in the first year of a tax cap. I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
Carol?
Okay. Now I'm thoroughly confused, to borrow a phrase from Peter.
Frank, you're allowing her to say that, or me
can't
say
it? I don't think
she's
anybody
got a mind of her.
I'm not usually confused. I usually am right on top of things, but this time I'm confused. It seems to me that items 9 through 13 have to do with the notion that they all have to do with how much cash we keep in various cash funds, whatever you call it, we keep in various accounts, anticipating what's coming up this year and in this case when we're going to have to actually make a payment or receive a payment. At, you know, by the end of December or the beginning of January. And to me, to exercise my financial fiduciary responsibility, for the county and for the taxpayers, I want to do what I would do at home, which is keep more than 3 weeks of operating money, even given a worst case. I'm willing to say that, yeah, there might be some more wiggle room from when we set the target back in April, thinking that, oh, my gosh, just maintenance of effort was going to be at 14%, And you know, maybe we can convince ourselves that 5.4% is doable. I'm willing to say, yes, it's not quite as dire as it was back then, and so we can do something with cash and where we think of keeping money. But I'm not sure, if you add up these five items, one, two, three, that's a total of $700,000. And I'm not sure which of them I think are most responsible to do or not do, but I'm not sure I think it's responsible to do all of them. And so I guess I'm looking for some guidance before we get into each one individually.
Let me interrupt a moment. That's why we're doing them one at a time.
Yeah, well.
Okay. What this resolution really means is that we're going to remove $230,000 of target funding out of the 2012 budget. And you've heard already that, yeah, we'll have to pay that again down the road, mm-hmm. but what this would do is reduce our levy by $230,000.
So what I'm asking staff is, if I believe we can do half of that, which of these five do you think are the top five to do?
I don't think we can answer the question about the other five until we get to the other five, because we're pretty much still on this small amount of $230,000. I can't wait till we get to the feral cats. Go ahead, Martha.
Yeah, I understand the problem. These aren't in a package, though, I'm torn about this one. I'd love to, you know, knock the levy down, you know, but this one we know is coming next year, and it's a big one. So I think I hear what your question is, and I think I'm going to vote against this one because I think that the other ones are more logical and, you know, more. I think I feel better about the other ones, but this bill is a big bite that we know we're going to have next year, and we have no control over it. I suppose the other ones we have some control over because these are about our capital projects.
Okay, I have Frank, Dooley, Brian, Pam.
Thanks, Jim. Joe, the state, the last thing I read recently, the state. The state is still $2 billion short, last I knew.
Right.
The budget season for them hasn't quite begun yet. We'll probably be hearing some of that here in another month. Would you expect, since you're being asked to look into your crystal ball, and David's asked to predict how many days we're going to be solvent, take out your cards and do a little tarot reading. Do you think the state is going to whack us again with some new and improved shortfall that we haven't anticipated in order to make up that $2 billion that they're short?
Yeah. Until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I probably would have responded a little differently to that. I believe that the state addressed most of its structural deficit this year. That's why it was so painful. And my expectation was, once they've addressed finally the structural deficit, that the impact on us in futures, the cuts in future years, may be smaller than what we've experienced. I'm a little concerned by what we're reading from the state comptroller talking about the potential drop-off of revenues to the state that would indicate revenues are going to be well below what the state needs to balance, even this reduced budget. So I'm feeling a little more pessimistic today about what may come out of Albany next year than I would have felt even a month ago, based on what Comptroller DiNapoli is saying. But it's the best I can do it.
Just a follow-up, Jeff. But yet you feel that this proposal, since it's coming from your department, is safe to do?
Well, here's, I guess, the only way, and I don't, you're having a good debate, and I don't, I'm not a player in the debate, but I will tell you that had this bill not been sent, had we believed that this bill wouldn't have come in 2012, we wouldn't have put it in the 2012 budget. We wouldn't have asked for this money. We would have tried to alert you to the fact that it's going to come due in 2013. But we certainly would not have included this in the proposed budget.
Dooley?
Well, I am sympathetic to what Carol was trying to figure out, since we are taking these in a particular order. which are the most desirable ones. So for what it's worth, when I look at the sheet that we've had on our desk today, 9, 10, and 11 all refer to first payment will be in 2013. 9 is the one we've been hearing about a lot first. 10 and 11, and they all have Shinagawa and Dennis on them. So
they do.
I'm figuring you two guys have this down pat as opposed to the rest of us.
Are you saying 10, 11, and 12?
10, 11, 12, and 13 have Shinagawa and Dennis.
Not 9.
I've said we've been speaking about 9. I want to talk about 10 and 11 now. The first payments being in 2013 mean we're going to have to do them. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what extent saying we'll be paying for them in 2013 means we are ignoring what had been our preferred way of acknowledging debt as soon as we know it's coming and not putting off the first payment, but immediately adding the need for the money when we make a decision about doing some capital project. And if some of that should be in 2012, I would rather have it then than putting it off to 2013. So I consider 9, 10, and 11 the most questionable of the ones on this list. 12 and 13 seem much more clearly one time to me. And if the dollar estimates are accurate, that's fine with me to make them one time. And those would be my first two choices, Carol. I don't know if that helps you at all, but that's where I am. So I will be voting against 9 now.
Anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry. I had Brian and then Pam. We're on 9.
We are on 9. And I just see 9 as not something for our benefit, but for the state's benefit to make them look good ultimately when our budget is 0.5% lower than it would have been, knowing that it's going to be that much more next year, and it's going to make it a lot easier for us to add in some of this other stuff this year and get away from some of the difficult decisions and just putting them off. And I'm done. Thanks.
I hit your realism. Pam.
Well, it seems to me that we don't have to take this all or nothing, right? I mean, we could keep part of it and reduce it by less than the $230,000 that's here.
The current motion is 230, Pam.
Okay, well, I would like to move that we amend that motion to say that we reduce it by $165,000. $165,000. And that is because I think that I understand that we have this payment to be made in the future, and I think that it's prudent that we keep some of that money there. But I also think that it's very tempting for us when we have that money sitting there to spend it for other things, which I'm concerned about, the additions that I see down below here. So that's my motion.
Is there a second?
The seconder thinks that's friendly.
I second that, but did you mean...
Wait, the motion maker and the seconder, do you think it's friendly, Frank? It's been so long.
I don't understand.
Nathan was
the reduction of 165.
We mean half?
What's
it's not
reduction
half
of that number by 165? Or
you're right. In other words, the motion is...
Yeah.
Is
to reduce the target by 230.
That's right. It's to reduce the target by 230. So I'm saying to reduce it by 165.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
You're okay with that?
That would be friendly to me.
Okay. Yeah. Now, back to discussion of Pam's motion. And I had Kathy was next, and then Mike after that.
What I can call this is a point of information, and I apologize if I'm asking people to repeat something that was said earlier. I've been a little late to mentally arrive. But in the email that was sent out prior to this, the statement that was made was $230,980 that can be used to reduce the property tax levy or support other programs. So my question is, are those our choices? And we'll, I know that y'all talked about it sort of before, but what I want to know is, what are our other choices? Because it sounds like Pam's motion kind of speaks to the possibility that there are dimensions of other choices available to us. And somebody talked before, and I think Martha commented on it, that if we don't use it, it would be like, and there were analogies and similes abounding. But somebody just tell me simply, if those are not the only two choices we have, what are our choices?
Joe.
Well, they are. And what would happen now, if you approve this amendment, you will be reducing the property tax levy. That will be its immediate effect. And what the note says on the email is, you may choose to use that reduction in the tax levy to allow other programs to come back into this budget. So you essentially pay for those restorations with the savings achieved by this proposal. So the immediate effect of what this amendment would be to reduce the property tax levy by $165,000.
Are there any other choices available to us?
No.
There's nothing else that we could potentially use that money for. We started
but
a long discussion. I understand that, okay, let's take this hypothetical and say the vote is to go ahead and not spend this money on that.
Yes.
Are the only choices that are available to us is to spend it on other programs? I'm not sure that that's the case. I need somebody to explain to me what happens if we... If we don't spend it on other programs, it automatically goes to the tax levy. Can we designate it for something
else? For contingency,
else?
Sure. You could have an expenditure. Yeah. Right. Let's say you wanted to keep that rate where it is right now.
Because we had talked that we started out the evening with a huge discussion about cash fund balance. And the shortage of, I'm just trying to figure this out because it's been given to us kind of as either or, and I think there's more to it than that. And I think Pam's motion sort of speaks to that, but it's only one step in a multi-step process. So I just wanted to show my ignorance here.
The term programs also gives you that option to put it into a general fund account or into contingency for a catastrophe during the year next year. And if you don't use it, it would be available as fund balance for the year 2013.
Martha and then Peter.
But if we raise it,
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead.
That was pretty much where I was going. Where are you going to park this money if you only go down to $165,000? And what good will that do? I think we either ought to do all or nothing here. I think we ought to have the money available to make the payment, or we should just plan on doing it for next year.
Somebody want to... I have Martha and Peter.
Well, first question, Pam, did you mean that the 230 would be cut in half?
Well, yes, approximately. I mean,
because that should be 115.5 or so.
Yeah.
No? 230 divided by 2 is 115.
Yeah. Right. Well, I came up with 165. I mean,
So the idea is, I mean, it seems to me to let's say if we leave, if we're taking out 165, then what's left is about 66,000 that we're going to raise on Medicaid, more than we're going to have to pay for Medicaid, right? So that 66,000 is going to come in.
It'll
to
stay
our
in
coffers.
The Medicaid. It'll stay in the Medicaid.
So it just goes in the Medicaid line because that's a big, you know, it's an account and it'll show up and it'll get used next year, right? I mean, if we the idea is, I mean, if it's not like we have money now that we can put somewhere else. You know, it lowers the tax levy, and to the extent that there's a psychological, that some people think that, okay, now the levy's lower, so I can either leave some of these additions in or add something back out. That's among the choices we have, but it's not connected to a choice about what these dollars do.
May I? and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, all these proposals will reduce the levy for 2012. At the end of this process, if you all see the levy down to 4%, then you can start talking about what you want to do with that. Do you want to increase the levy? What do you want to do? It seems like to me when you have $230,000 like this, and we know we're going to pay it next year, you say we're not going to have it in this year's levy, but we know what it's going to mean coming out. I don't really think that you can then say, I want to do this with it. You can do anything you want to after you move these things. And if you want to add more things back in, well, you know you have $230,000 more to deal with. That's all. But Pam's got 165 on the floor, and is that right? 65 or 55?
65. I said 65. Okay, 65. Good. I'm certainly welcome to adjustments in that if people have a different...
I have Peter Loves and Nate.
Yeah, I want to make a comment not about Pam's motion, but about the general discussion that's been going around here. I can see someone doing these things that we're talking about, namely taking reserves to lower the tax rate because they think that now is the time to lower the tax rate. I myself don't think that, so I'm going to vote against that. I think that the reserves are dangerously low. On the other hand, I think that doing a combination of lowering the tax rate by these more or less gimmicks and then raising it back up again by taking those savings and putting them into things that are in the target is essentially irresponsible. I don't think you should do both things.
Thank you for that. Leslie.
I'm not sure that I am following the bouncing ball here. I don't even know what the motion is.
Well, the motion is to, it started out as taking $230,000 out of the 2012 levy.
So let me clarify.
And it's now 165.
So the motion that's sitting on the table right now is to reduce our
2012 levy.
That's what it is, to reduce the levy mm-hmm. by $165,000.
That's right.
Yes.
Which is coming out of this $230,000
Medicaid
monies. Second half of my question then is, what happens to the rest of it?
Stays in the Medicaid budget.
Right now, if you did nothing else,
one person.
It would stay in the Medicaid budget. It wouldn't be spent. So at the end of the year, it would fall into the fund balance of the county. Okay? So if you do nothing, that's what would happen.
And would that amount in the Medicaid budget then be targeted for the payment of this bill next year? Or do we have to make a motion to do that?
We would do it through the budget. So we would draw money out of fund balance that was created by this. We would draw it out and we would put it into the 2013 budget to help pay this bill.
So may I go back to Dooley had a thought earlier. Is it something we can do? Can we have a motion, a companion motion that says the balance will go wherever it gets parked, targeted for paying this bill rather than just leave it without cushion around it? Can we do that?
Well, I'm assuming you can make a note in the action. Somehow the record can show that that's your intent.
Thank you.
I have Nate and then Pam.
It's okay. I'm not going to end up speaking to the motion, so it's fine. I'll pass.
Pam.
Well, I think what's confusing people is in the email that we got, because it says that we can use the money can either be used to reduce the property tax levy or support other programs.
Right.
And so, but what I've also heard saying that this is designated to go back into the pot of money that's dedicated just to pay the Medicaid bill. So this is confusing. I think it's not just confusing me. I think it's confusing a number of us here tonight because this note is different than what I'm hearing you all say now.
Okay. Martha, Dooley.
Let's still have a shot.
Yeah. Kevin, does that 5.16% number, does that include the proposed action or not?
Yes. That's
take the proposed action out.
Don't all stare at it right now. I got to change the number. What was it?
-165.
230,980.
Yeah.
I thought you reflected only the 160.
I did. I just changed it. So there you go. So initially, before
it should go the other way.
Oh, you want
add it back in.
Okay, sorry.
Let's start at the very beginning. So before we make any changes in Medicaid, what would the levy look like? What I want to show here is you begin at 556. Okay. Now, if we reduce this bill by $165,000, that levy would come down to what?
5.16.
5.16%. That's the starting point. That's the initial effect of your action. It would reduce the levy. What the note tries to say is, if you're comfortable with a levy at 5.56%, you now have the capacity to add back in $165,000 of other things and still stay within that 5.56% levy limit. That's what it's trying to say. The mechanics of it are, first effect is it reduces levy, and then you would take action here to put things back in to bring it to that point. So that's how the mechanics of what we're doing here would work. The next question to us was, if we decided to leave money for this bill in the budget and the bill didn't come, what would happen to it? What would happen? And that's what we answered in Leslie's question, where it would, unless you took additional action, it would sit in the Medicaid account and would drop the fund balance at the end of the year.
Increasing our fund balance.
Increasing the fund balance, and then we could appropriate the fund balance in 2013 to help pay this bill. I think Carol brought up the point, could you also do a budget amendment to increase your contingency, reduce Medicaid, take that money out of Medicaid, and move it to contingency so it's there if there is a problem with the budget. Yes, you could do that too. So does that clarify or confuse? Is it clear?
Leslie?
So essentially, we don't necessarily have to go spending it.
That's
we
correct.
We can park it in contingency
That's right.
Thank you.
Martha?
Well, actually, parking it in contingency wouldn't remove it from the levy, right?
Because it would stay in the levy, but it would be unspent until the legislature chose to spend it.
There's nothing special about this. This is like a cut, like any other cut we would make in any other expenditure. If we cut $230,000 out of the highway or the sheriff's budget or whatever, then the levy would come down, and we could say, that's good, that was our goal to get the levy down. Or we could say, well, I wanted to get the levy down so I could put something different back. So that's all Kevin is, I think, trying to
say. That was all I was trying to say
in the email. So it's no different than any other cut. Or, you know, if we look at the sales tax number, and because we got a good third quarter, David says, well, you know, maybe we can bump that up a little bit. Similarly, if we got new sales tax, that would reduce the levy. And we could decide, well, that was our goal, great, reduce the levy, or it gives us new room to add something back that we really don't want to cut.
Okay, Leslie, you had a hand up. And then after that, I think we exhausted the final discussion on this. Leslie, go ahead.
Thing four times.
What? Yeah, you're right.
And people are asking four times, Nathan, because they're still not clear.
Yeah.
You know, like I just heard something a little different about if we put it in contingency, it still doesn't do anything to the levy, although we have cut it out of target. So now I'm sitting here trying to grapple with this. So where do we park it so that it brings the levy down? Is there a place?
You take it out.
So
you would completely eliminate that. So the $230,000 bill, you would reduce the budget by $230,000.
Thank
you. Gone.
And then next year, when you had to pay the $230,000, you would have to then reappropriate $230,000.
Right. Either through tax levy increase or by using some fund balance.
Anyone else? Dooley, Carol.
I was on the list to speak after Martha. Martha said, let Joe go. So may or may not be useful at this point, but if Leslin's original question, and I may have it wrong, was if you want to still make sure that the part that's left after Pam's motion will be dedicated for Medicaid then what we need to do is reduce the whole amount. Some of it goes for what to reduce the levy, and the other gets earmarked in contingency for Medicaid, or you can put it back in the line and not let it go into the fund balance 1 year and then go back to Medicaid. You can earmark it for Medicaid as part of that general motion. That's the other way.
Okay, may I respond to that?
Yep.
The problem is that the part left over, if it goes in contingency or earmarked, you're going to pay. That's part of the levy for 2012.
That's right.
Right.
But
that's
okay.
Right.
That's
and
the
purpose
is.
Of the 230 was to reduce the levy to 230.
No.
Anyone?
Not
of
Pam's
no.
motion
well,
and Leslie's question.
Well, Pam's motion was 165, right?
Well, what I'd like to do is amend my motion. Can I do that?
I don't think so.
But Carol's not. But I can.
Carol,
okay.
Are we going to have, this? I think a question for Joe. Are we going to have?
Wait, I'd like to get my question answered.
I'm about to. I think I may move to amend your motion,
friendly,
but it's
if
it's
someone
a question.
Someone agrees with you, Pam, on
but
your motion.
But I just
want
to
get a question.
If it's friendly,
I can't amend it.
Okay. Are we going to have 53 or an extra Medicaid payment in 2013 like
yes.
we thought we were going to have one now?
Yes.
So I believe that it would be best to, knowing that's coming, to do save half now and half later. So I would move to amend Pam's amendment to read half now and half next year. So reduce it by
well,
115,000.
What I would say was if we reduce this amount by half, and the other half of it would go into our fund balance, or would go.
No, I'm happy to reduce target.
Excuse me.
For this year,
Pam,
would
you
be
have
my
motion?
Amendment.
Do you have another motion?
And I
can amend my motion.
Absolutely, roll over.
Okay. Okay, so I would like to amend my motion to reduce what am I calling this? This
Medicaid amount.
Medicaid payment.
Medicaid 53rd payment.
Medicaid payment.
All right, by half, and so that it would reduce the property tax increase, the tax levy, and that the remaining half would be put into the fund balance or
a general fund account.
The general fund account.
Or contingency.
A contingency account.
You can't.
Can't I make this motion? Contingency account dedicated towards our Medicaid payments that will come due 2013.
Is there a second to that? Oh, Frank. Second. Now discussion. Martha, Peter.
I think it's a good idea to split the difference. Do half now, half later. But the thing about the contingent account is really not necessary. Medicaid is something we pay no matter what. It's not like rollover. It's not like any other expenditure. I mean, all the mandates are. So I just say.
Well, I don't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying contingent. I'm saying.
Right. I mean, that's fine. All right.
Peter.
Yeah, it's just gone on too long, it seems to me.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm opposed to the whole idea. I can just barely understand the whole idea, but when we start amending it and then splitting it into two parts, it's completely...
Okay, let us have
and
a vote
speaking.
On it then, Peter.
I'm
that
speaking.
Would work then.
I'm
Go
speaking.
Ahead, Mike.
Could you tell me if...
Wait, I am speaking. You can't cut me off.
I'm sorry, I thought you stopped.
No, I said... I intend to vote against all these amendments and then vote against it when it ends up, because I think the whole thing is a bad idea.
Thank you. Mike.
We have just one main motion on the table at this point.
We do.
All right. I'd like to have an opportunity to vote on whether or not we can reduce it $230,980 as originally proposed, and therefore, while I will move an amendment to the motion at... $230,980.
Is there a second to that?
Wait, point of order.
Point of information.
The
main motion was for the $230,000.
Right. That's why I asked
and
what
this,
was on the table.
Right, and this was my...
Floor,
mine is an amendment.
You can have a second amendment on an amendment.
There was already.
There was already a second amendment.
Yeah, the 165.
No, but that one went away.
Yeah, we got the 165.
The 165 went away.
I'm going to start throwing out numbers.
Yeah, conference, sidebar, I think. Mike can do that. He can put that back to 230.
Yeah.
Was there a second to that?
Second.
Are we ready to vote on the motion to remove the 230 from the 2012 levy? Are we ready to vote?
That's the amendment, right?
Just let me clarify for myself, because I kind of did a head spin. It sounds to me like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, that your amendment gets us back to where we were. Is that right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So is this a vote to put it on the table, or is it a vote to accept
it? No, there's a motion on the floor for 165 that got changed to 115, and now we're back to 230.
Got it. So now are we voting?
We're voting to remove it from the 2012 levy.
The 230, okay.
And do what with it?
Well, it goes back to the general fund.
No, it goes in people's pockets.
It reduces the property tax levy to 4.99.
If this motion passes, Mr. Chair, I believe then you have to vote on the whole motion again, because it's an amendment.
Yes. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Mike's amendment, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, Peter?
I move the question.
Is there a second?
All right, second.
Okay, all in favor of moving the question? Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed?
Could you clarify what it is we're voting on now?
Yes, we're voting on the $230,000 removal from the 2012 target budget.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yes.
All in favor of that motion that Mike made, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 6. It is approved. $230,000 comes out of the target budget for 2012.
One motion.
Capital Pro, next one, number 10.
Yeah, I'll move it.
Move it. Is there a second? Martha? Discussion. O'Frank.
Just a general comment. This looks like the same kind of a gimmick that we just passed. Is it? This looks like it's the same kind of gimmick that we just passed about recognizing that we can postpone a payment until 2013. And I would say the same thing about the following one. I just want, maybe you're offended by the word gimmick, but this is just, that's all it is. Okay, you've clarified it. Thank you.
I had Dave and then Nate. Martha, Dave, and then Nate. Go ahead.
I am offended by the word gimmick. I think if, taxpayers understood, let's say failing to pass this, if the taxpayers understood that we're charging them for something we don't have to pay for next year, I don't think people would think that was such a great idea. I think people would understand that we should book an expense when we have to pay the expense. I think that's all this is. And we've spent Capital Plan Review Committee, and I'll ask Joe to talk about this when I'm finished, but the Capital Plan Review Committee has spent a year and more than a half trying to understand how we develop our capital program. And am I right, Joe? All this means is when in August you put the program, the budget together, you had one assumption about where we'd be on the center of government. COG is center of government. And it's now October, and we have the report from Holt, and it's clear we don't need the, we aren't going to be needing that money this coming in 2012.
That's right.
So,
that's correct. Based on the schedule, I mean, we did think that there would be progress on these. We would incur debt. It's now clear that we won't on either the Community Justice Center or the center of government, even in the smaller version. So it is correct. We would expect that the debt service will hit in 2013, but there won't be a bill in 2012.
And, in fact, we haven't made a decision to do these projects at all yet. So to book this expense for 2012 for a project we haven't even agreed to do doesn't really make any sense.
I have, you're done? I have Dave and then Nate. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just had an information type question. We have an idea of when in 2013 we might have to pay this bill.
It depends on when we get started on these projects, Dave. It's usually a year after you incur the debt, you have the first debt service payment. So if we don't get started until the middle part of next year, then the payment would be mid-2013.
Okay. Thank you.
Nathan.
Martha, actually, you said you made all my comments very well, so I do not need to repeat you. Thank you.
Frank.
I'm sorry that you're offended, Martha, but creative accounting is well known, and this is just another example of it. The statement about we haven't made a commitment to go ahead with this project, I completely disagree with. I think you're leading that committee, and whether we like it or not, we're probably going to have to do something in that regard with the plans. At least the capital program meetings that I've been at imply that we are moving ahead. The taxpayer is more savvy than I think a lot of people give them credit for, and I certainly think that they would be, they're not going to be duped into thinking that simply postponing a bill is going to save the money. We don't know what the interest rates are going to be in 2 years. David has a tough enough time now trying to predict what they might be. We're not earning squat on our savings at this point, or our fund balances, if you will. So I think a couple of years ago we made quite an attempt under Tim Joseph when he was chair and Michael Kaplinka-Lair when he was chair of this legislature to make sure that we recognized capital program expenses and debt service when they occurred. And I think that this is just shadow boxing. If you have a bill that's going to be out there, and with all due respect, we're entitled to disagree with each other, I think this is just another way of postponing the inevitable. And that's why I asked Joe that question about the state. I don't think we can depend on the state not coming up with another surprise, if you will, that probably will negatively impact us.
Kathy Ware.
Thank you. My perspective is a little different than Frank's, although I enjoyed your expressing it. For me, I thought I remembered seeing something at a recent meeting, and as is usual these days, it was presented at the meeting, so I don't remember it too well, but I seem to remember it being an actual schedule of the capital plan project, and I think I remember showing center of government work beginning in 2013, and I'm not sure it was a CJC addition, which I frankly am not sure which building that refers to and what addition, but there were a lot of other things that were also scheduled to begin in 2013. So they were supposed to begin in 2012, it was true, but then we were told at a meeting that now they begin in 2013. So since I don't have that schedule, I can't really tell you what the capital plan plan is, because it was just presented at a meeting, and not electronically or anything like that. But I don't really have a problem with us removing them from 2012 because we're not paying them in 2012. Whether or not we're paying them in 2013 is something that I would like to agree with Martha on and say that I'll take her at her word as chair of the committee that we don't know if these projects are actually going to be implemented next year.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
So just to finish up here, there's a way that this could be seen as creative financing, and we've done this in the past. So, you know, even the most jaded among us knows that at budget time we do what it takes to try and figure out how to minimize the impact on the taxpayer as well as on the community. So for me, these two aren't as important as some of the others, but I do just take exception to the characterization that it's going to happen next year or it's not, because I'll tell you at the next meeting when I get the memo.
I have Carol Chalk, Nathan Shinigawa, and Martha Robertson.
Mike. I've been sitting here trying to think about how I view what we need to do about capital program. Capital is one of those things that we agree, and I think the public understands, you spread over time, and you do in each year what you can do in a reasonable budget. Otherwise, it comes back to you in huge clumps that aren't built in. And so of these four that are coming up to us as possibilities of thinking about them for this year versus not, I actually think that there's some justification for the fact that this location change is something that's unusual, that's come up, that it's a one-time thing that we didn't plan for and shouldn't have necessarily had to plan for, but that these two, that this one we've got on the table now and the next one, so that I won't have to raise my hand again, needing to get a handle on the mess we're in with our seven different downtown facilities, or however many they are now, and move that forward is something that I'd like to see us do and like to see us think about longer term. So I don't want to just put those off. So I will be supporting, I will be voting against this. I think we need to be budgeting for this and the CJC, thinking through what we're doing for that whole part of our plan this year. Whether we do this piece or not, we'll have something earmarked in the budget, and that the others are not necessarily things I need to think about as a capital program that we need to budget for now.
Okay, thank you, Nate.
Yeah, I think that we should not. I mean, I support this resolution because budgeting for it, Carol, I believe is. I mean, that's like saying, okay, well, that's something that we're going to spend next year, so we should budget for it, and you know, and be aware of it happening. But what we're doing right here is we're going to charge the taxpayers an extra $50,960 for costs that we're not going to incur next year. So we should charge them during the year in which we'll actually incur the cost. That's all this is, and that's why I'm supporting this motion.
Thank you, Nate. Martha, Mike, and Brian.
All right, I need to really clear. Go back to what does this pay for? This center of government would be the first. This would be debt service on a big building, right?
This would be debt service. Holt's original estimate on a two-story building is about 2.3 or 2.4 million. So this would support the debt on that. And then
okay.
The other element here is the $1.5 million that Holt estimated for a standalone community justice facility. So that's where, and these numbers combined represent the debt service on those two projects.
So that's the $96,000.
Right.
So let me just say, to build a two-story building certainly requires more than a staff person putting it on a piece of paper at a meeting. We have not decided at the committee or at the legislature to build a two-story building. And here's the alternative that we might actually decide if things look bad enough next year. We could decide to move into the legislature, into the old courtroom, and make some offices and spend this little bit of money and stay there and not build anything. And that would be the alternative. And that relates to, you know, the next couple of items. So that's a choice. To say that, oh, center of government is moving forward, no, it really isn't moving forward yet. We are still talking about it, and we have to make a choice. So it seems to me to charge this money in 2012 when we have a choice about it and we haven't made that choice yet makes no sense at all.
Mike.
I support removing the money from 10 and Will for 11 for exactly the reasons Kathy Luz Herrera said. I thought she put it very well.
Thank you, Mike. Brian?
I support this as well. I just want to know, I don't remember doing anything like this in my vast, almost 2 years of experience. Do we normally budget for debt service that we haven't even begun yet?
No, we anticipate debt service on projects that are in a go-forward mode. So we do need to put enough money in our budget to support those projects that look like they're good to go.
Next year's budget for these projects.
For these projects.
I mean do you normally bank it two years ahead?
Not 2 years. And Dooley made a point earlier that some time ago there was an expression on the part of the legislature, before I got here, that once you recognize you're going to do a project, you ought to put debt service in that budget. So if it looks like we're going to do something in 2012, it would make sense to put a budget item in there, even though the bill wouldn't come due until the following year, just to recognize that in your spending pattern. I think it's fair to say that discipline has been very hard to maintain. It hasn't been done that way. So getting back to your question, do we normally budget for debt service that we don't expect to come due? No. We budget for debt service that we expect to have come our way in that budget year, in this case 2012.
Okay. I would just like to point out also, you know, Martha actually makes a valid point in that I could foresee that things got to the point where we put those off, maybe not ever, which is in quite a contrast to a Medicaid bill that we know we're going to have to pay, plus 3% of $13 million, and you know, those are very much anticipated.
Thank you, Brian. Peter Stein, and then Dooley Kiefer.
Yeah, just a very short statement. As far as I'm concerned, the labels on all of these don't mean anything to me. I don't really care one way or the other. The thing that's driving me is I've become convinced that the fund balance is that the liquid fund balance is not high enough, and therefore I'm not going to vote for any of these things.
This doesn't have anything to do with the fund balance.
Carol
Chalk. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Dooley
Kiefer. How?
Dooley Kiefer. Go ahead.
Mine is a question.
Dooley Kiefer.
Thank you. I appreciate Joe's recalling that I had referred to what had been our attempt at good fiscal process, and that's what Frank began the discussion by referring to, that it sounds simple and easy to say you just book an expense when you know it's going to come due. We were trying to make the fluctuations in our annual budget, in our annual tax levy, as flat as possible, so that we decided it was prudent when we decided we were going to move forward with the capital project to recognize it when we made that decision and to begin to accrue to pay for it when we made the decision. So I agree with what Frank said ages ago, and I appreciate Joe making reference to it, but saying it's not our normal practice doesn't make me feel good. I think it was a sensible practice, and I see no reason to happily move away from it. With respect to the dollar figures in here, the center of government's $51,000 is based on, you said, a $2.5 million building. Is that what you said? Did I misunderstand you?
It's 2.3 or 2.4.
Okay. And that we have not decided to do. So Kathy is right. We should not be making a decision about this until the Capital Plan Review Committee meets next month.
and maybe there'll be a decision, and then we should be considering these moves. I think it's premature to make them now.
Carol?
Dave. Yep. The studies, the architects and engineers studies that we use to move decide to whether to move forward and how on these projects are usually part of the capital budget for those projects. Are those in the budget somewhere else? And we are proceeding with those this year. I was assuming that that what's in here, are those elsewhere in our budget?
Well, you've paid for example, the business case analysis on the center of government, you paid for with 2011 money. So that's already paid for. Now, when it comes time to actually design a building, that's included in the project costs. So in that $2.3 million estimate of the center of government, that includes those soft costs, those professional fees. Now, we have added, and this is going to come up in a later item, there's $75,000 that comes up in item number, whatever it is.
13.
We did put money in the 2012 budget to pay for additional study of the center of government project in case we needed it. But I think you're referring to architectural fees and other soft costs. Where are they in this budget? They would be in that larger capital expense, and we would bond for that, show up as a debt service payment ultimately.
So we will still be able to do them even if we remove this amount?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
Then I might
support you.
And I have Dave.
Okay. And I got a question for Joe on this. What would the potential savings to taxpayers be if we used this combination, $145,000, as a down payment to reduce the overall debt on the building, which, in my opinion, inevitably will be built? May not be this year, but even if it isn't.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. I think I would save a lot more than that $150,000 over a 20-year loan.
That's a very good question. I mean, if you could avoid $150,000 in debt, you're quicker than I am. Save maybe $100,000 of interest over the life, $75,000 to $100,000 of interest, if you could avoid $150,000 borrowing. Call it $75,000 or $80,000, David. You would save over the 20-year life of that debt issue.
I think that's well worth thinking about.
Martha, last comment, okay?
But this is not a debt we have. I mean, it's not like the mortgage on your house. We haven't incurred this debt. We haven't taken that vote.
I just think it's inevitable that we will do that project.
Excuse me. It's great, but are we ready to vote on this? Let's do that. We have a motion on the floor to $50,960 to remove from target. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? Should be 6. It is. Next one. Nate, want to move that?
Yes, I will move number 11.
Is there a second? Martha? It's the same discussion all over again.
Actually, it's a little different because it's a particular assumption of the project.
Are you seconding it, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Joe could describe what this piece was, the bump out of HSB.
Originally it was, and that was the early assumption, as kind of the budget got closer, it was recalibrated. This is really debt service on a $1.5 million community justice center, and that's what Holt estimates the cost of a standalone CJC to be. So it's $1.5 million for a separate building.
Oh, this wasn't the bump out of the human services building?
Originally when we put the budget together and then we recalibrated, okay. So this got smaller, center of government, I think, got larger, so they balanced out.
Okay, thank you.
No. This is a freestanding building.
It just happens to be the same.
Wait, question
is more expensive.
I have Kathy Herrera and Frank.
Yeah, my comment once more was referring to the memo and how curious it is that this assumes Human Service Building bump out for CJC, and I'm glad to hear that that's no longer the case. So what is it then? And it is curious, as Dooley says, that it just coincidentally
it is
the same amount?
No. When we originally kind of developed the budget, we had in there $2.4 million for the relocation of the CJC. We had $1.3 million in for Center of Government. As time went on, those numbers switched around a bit based on the HALT numbers, so that the cost of the relocation of the CJC, which was no longer, because we had rejected by then, the bump out of the Human Service Building, the cost of the CJC was estimated to be $1.5 million. That's the cost of a standalone community justice center based on HALT estimate. The Center of Government had originally been in there at $1.3 million. And that was changed to $2.3 million again to be consistent with HALT. So the sum of those two projects is essentially the same.
So my follow-up is again in reference to the memo that we got about Proposal 11. So basically none of this is correct in the part here. It's not a reference to the Community Justice Center addition. And it is now evident this project was to start in 2012. It would be later in the year?
No.
Or
it's,
yes.
It's still, the Community Justice Center here is a standalone $1.5 million building.
So it's not an addition.
It's not an addition to
okay.
the Human Services
and
building.
And if it would happen in 2012, it won't start in 2012.
Right.
It won't start till 2013, so the first payment wouldn't be due till
2013.
Right. That, we think the best case would be it would start sometime in 2012, so the first debt service payment would hit in 2013. And
is there really a chance that it would start?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's up to you.
I wish that
because
were
nothing
so.
Of this is not authorized money.
I wish that were up to the 15
right.
of us.
Right. It will be. It will ultimately come to you for an author. Once a plan
Ever
comes into shape, it must come to you. It must go through the committees. You must approve by a supermajority, a bond resolution to do it. So there will be lots of legislative involvement in this before a final plan finds its way into our budget. These are planning numbers with debt service estimates that go along with it.
Thank you.
We just feel confident now we're not going to get started in time for this to hit 2012.
Frank, did I see your hand?
You did. I want to make sure.
Please don't say gimmick again.
Say again?
Please don't say gimmick again.
Okay, I won't. This is for clarification. Earlier when we were discussing the Center of Government building, I heard Martha say that these two projects were not firm, that these nothing had been approved.
That's correct.
So the Community Justice Center has not been approved.
That's absolutely correct.
Is that what I remember you saying?
You're on the committee.
Yeah, no kidding. You're absolutely right.
We're still learning.
We're learning, though. So there's been no commitment to build the Community Justice Center.
Absolutely none.
You know, I may have to vote in favor of this one because this pulls the money out of the so we're not committing to $96,000 in this case.
In fact, we're pulling money out of the budget that had been there because we had expected progress on this. We needed a plan for it, needed to build a budget around it. You have not approved it. We'll be reviewing it at length in committee. And at the earliest, debt service would hit our budget if we move quickly in 2013. So we can hold off until 2013 before we budget for any of these expenses.
But
the projects may never happen.
Right. Are we ready to vote on this? I think so. All in favor of removing $96,000 from the target, please raise your hand
aye.
And say aye if you want to. 3,
thanks,
4,
Jim.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The removal of the 96K from the budget. 15, 0, 13,
no.
14.
14.
Sorry, who voted
Peter
no?
Peter voted no.
Peter Stein. Sorry, Peter. You promised you were going to vote no on all these, and I counted wrong. Yes?
May I?
Are you calling on me?
I'm sorry. Yes, I know. Go ahead.
I have a question. Suppose in another year we decide that the cash reserve is too low, and we ought to raise it. Is there a way of doing that, just saying raising the tax levy just to put money in the reserve, or do we have to have some project to put it in or something like that?
You vote to change.
I'm going to let the county administrator answer that.
You would probably just add to the contingency funds. You'd build up the contingency fund in the expectation that you wouldn't need to spend all that money. So at the end of the year, that would fall into fund balance.
Okay, thank you.
Next item. Nate, you want to move that?
Yes, I'd like to move it, and then I'd like to talk about it.
All right,
and
thank you. There's a second. Nathan. Go ahead, Martha.
Okay.
The second, Nate.
All right, so this is $250,000 for courthouse relocation and renovation. And, Joe, I just want to know, I mean, obviously there's a study and a design that will have to take place, but is this including renovation and relocation costs, or is that?
Right, this was the estimate of the cost for the switch. So
okay.
To move you to the old courthouse,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to move the courtroom in here,
okay.
and to do very Spartan renovations,
right.
in both areas.
And so that's everything, right?
That's
so we
everything
wouldn't,
unless
we wouldn't
there
take out any debt over a number of years or anything like
that's
that.
That's correct. It's okay. All cash.
So, all right. So then, therefore, it makes sense that this is just a one-time expenditure. All right. Then that's why I'm supporting this.
Okay. I have Mike. I have Dooley. I have Dave. I have Carol.
Member of the committee, I just want to clarify
Kathy.
That they have not yet said that they would accept the Spartan renovations
All right.
here.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Right. Thank you for that.
Julie over here.
Yeah, this is something that I think it is truly one time, but I'm not sure of the dollar amount, and I'm because we don't have a decision by the courts or by us on what renovations we would require to move. So I think this is not ready to be voted on. Again, it may be that we will know more after the next Capital Plan Review Committee.
So can I actually... This is important. Now, so is it possible, Joe and Kevin, for me to simply... Because right now this is target money, right?
It is currently target money.
Right.
It's affecting
so
levy.
All I want to do then is just remove it from target money. Because then that means that we'll just... Because we're going to... If it's one time, we're going to be using the general fund anyway. And so... So I think that's the more appropriate move, right, is to remove the $250,000 from target. So I should have made that motion.
Will the seconder agree with that one?
Wait, you mean and not make it one time?
No, it just goes in. Well, yeah. One time, it still goes into fund balance.
Right, right. It's the same
right.
thing.
This
yeah.
will right. It would be
either
drawing
way,
money out of fund balance, so you're not raising property taxes to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes.
I do want to. I do want to come to Mike's point and to do it too.
Yes.
I mean, the cost of this project won't be going down.
Right.
So if you choose to look at this as a down payment, hopefully
right.
it covers everything. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm.
But at a minimum, it's a down payment on improvements that would have to be made. And it's
right.
we will only relocate you, we hope, once.
Right, right.
So it's one time.
Okay. So is that friendly?
Yes, we already okay. determined that.
Yeah.
Dooley, and then Dave and Kathy and Martha.
You already called on me. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Well, do it. Take another shot. Dave?
I'll pass my question.
Okay. Kathy?
Thanks. Some of what I was wondering about has already been addressed. I don't have any problem with taking this out of target. I agree, though, that the number is kind of arbitrary. It's fine that it's one time, but it's not quite exactly the same thing. Anyway, I'm not going to argue about it. I just think it's interesting that it's 250. I agree with Joe that it's not going to be any less. But I think it's a... I'm glad we're taking out the target.
Yeah,
that's all. It's just...
May I just say in my
own
defense...
Another non-gimmick.
Okay. In my own defense, that was the number that we talked about, and that's why it's 250,000. It could have been...
Well, actually, there have been a number of other numbers, and the most Spartan one
right.
was that amount. So
there
have been a lot of other numbers, and as Dooley says, there may be a lot more that are a lot more. So, although
Martha.
She didn't say that.
Well, this number comes from Morrell. He hasn't priced out the Spartan renovation here or there to the dollar amount, but I'm very... Morrell's here. You want to talk about it, Morrell? I mean, I think it's, without doing a detailed analysis, I think this is a comfortable number, right?
Right. I mean, it was based on minimal improvements in this courtroom, and we presented a plan to the state courts, which really didn't require any structural modifications to the space, but moving furniture, existing furniture from the Supreme Court and the old courthouse to this space, providing IT and phone wiring and some other, you know, painting and probably some flooring, as well as minimal improvements to the old courthouse to accommodate the legislative chambers. And we were looking at temporarily initially until we further developed the center of government options, which one of the options looked at having the legislature occupy two floors at the old courthouse, in which case the renovations would be more extensive but not part of this $250,000.
Okay, and the idea is that this is, I mean, it's just a working number, and Arell didn't want to, until a decision was made, and we knew that Arell didn't want to spend the time coming up with a detailed analysis, but this is a comfortable, this will certainly take care of those minimal renovations.
Right, because at the time when we had to submit the numbers for the budget, and still to this day, the courts haven't come back with approval of a plan. We submitted a conceptual plan that was shared with the capital plan review committee meeting. Judge Mulvey liked the plan. It went to New York City, reviewed by the chief architect, came back with some other changes. At this point, the courts are in no hurry to make a decision on the plan. They feel they've got till 2013. They're looking at other options. So Joe is correct in saying it's not going to be any less than this number. It may go up based on other things that they'd like to explore. But at this point, I feel comfortable with the number to accommodate minimal improvements in both buildings.
Thank you. Pat Peterstein, Dave Bryan.
I think you may have just given me the answer to the question I wanted to ask, which has to do with timing. So do we have any clear idea of when we might need to actually start spending this money?
Joe, do you want to answer that?
I could, or Martha could as well. If you recall, we need to be out and into the new space at the beginning of 2013. So this will happen in 2012. Money will be being spent in 2012.
So if we remove this from target, then it comes from our contingency fund.
It comes from our reserves, so it comes out of the numbers that David talked about earlier, that $13 million.
So I'd like to know then is what is the impact going to be on our reserves? And where is that going to put us in relationship to that the figure that David spoke about, that we should not go in underneath?
David stepped out at the right time. It will, I mean, the way we're looking at the reserves right now, we're looking at the number of days of cash we have. We currently have, as I recall, 26 days. $250,000 is the equivalent of a little less than one day, about two-thirds of one day. So it would drop, if that helps provide context. The available cash in the 25-day supply of cash, 26 days to 25 days.
And if we assume then that the next item we did the same thing with, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes.
An additional 75,000.
Right.
So
that gets it closer to a full day.
Right.
Pat, earlier I explained that one thing that may be a consideration is that of the draw that we've already put into the 2012 budget, we expect to get some of that money back when we sell the Shaw and realize
right.
the sale
right.
proceeds. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that that's a part of the process.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter Stein.
Well, just to repeat what I've said a couple of times, if we have something that we know we have to do and it may cost more than this and the reserves are low, I think we ought to put it on the tax rolls.
Dave.
Okay, I was just curious, is this the 8-person jury box or the 12-person jury box version that we're talking about?
I think it's the 8.
It's the 8.
Yeah, it's the Spartan plan. It's
didn't
the
they mandate that we do the 12?
Yeah.
No, it's unclear.
Yeah.
It's really unclear.
I think Judge Mulvey has some authority here, and we hope he asserts his commitment that this is a low-budget approach to this relocation.
Brian?
I just feel as though this is clearly a one-time expense versus Target. And I guess my only other comment is that based on what does happen in here, this may actually turn into a debt service situation rather than a one-time expense. Is that true?
Well, it could. I mean, yeah. That's a good point. And you could look at it the way David did, where this could be looked at as a down payment, take it out of reserves and use it as a down payment, or it could be that we'll choose to borrow the entire amount.
Well, it's a mandate from the court, so it's not like it's not going to happen. It's
right.
going.
That's correct.
But if they make us do a lot more than what we're hoping we have to do, then it will obviously go into a debt service situation.
Frank Prodo.
Chairman Dennis, may I call the question?
You may. Is there a second? All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, any? One person. Okay, 14-1. The question has been called. We are voting on removing $250,000 and going to the fund balance, not as one time. Right, Nate? That got changed. All in favor, please signify by saying aye or raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes 12-3. What I would like to do is do the next one and take a break. Nate?
Yes, the last one that I will move today is changing the planning study for the center of government, which is currently targeted at $75,000, and making it one time. And if I may speak to that after the second.
Is there a second to that? Leslin?
Yeah. And this is simply just reflecting what we've done in the past. When we do studies for buildings and projects, we make it a one-time expense. And so that's just keeping that in line with our current practices.
Any other comments? Dooley?
I voted no on the last motion. I will vote no on this, not because I disagree with these motions, but because we have already taken too much out of the target budget, in my opinion.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor of this, please raise your hand or signify by saying aye. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. And it passes 11-4. I would like to take a break until 7:05, with your permission.
Is that the resulting levy?
Yes.